Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Praise God. Today we're going to talk about a really amazing subject, spiritual breakthrough. And I realize that it's sometimes we forget that there's a spiritual world all around us. If our eyes were open, we would see that there's angels, there's chariots of fire. And I mean, if your eyes could be open right now during our worship, the Spirit of the Lord is here, right? But when you go out into the world, there's also some other spirits that are out there, aren't there? Right? Satan is a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. So before we get started with breakthrough, I want to give you a couple of illustrations. Here's a glass of water, and I'm holding it up here with my iPad. And this isn't that heavy. I'm holding it up. I'm doing a really good job. Because it's just not that. Yeah, thank you. But what if Pam said to me, hold it up for the whole service? I could do that. But after, by 12 o'clock, she'd say, how you doing? And I would say, honestly, my arm's a little tired. And she goes, it's not that heavy. You said so. You said it was easy. What if I held it for 8 hours? My arm would be sore. I would almost be paralyzed. I would lose blood circulation. That's what worry is. It's okay to hold it and think about it for a minute or two as long as you set it down. But when you continue to hold and think about it, it wears on you just like a toothache that isn't that bad, but it just stays with you. So that's one area of breakthrough. And by the way, the message that stuck with me the most that Brother Gill preached was resting in the Lord. I'm still trying to process that message because it's the simplest thing in the world that we need to learn how to give our burdens to Jesus and rest in it. Boy, that's hard to do, isn't it? Many of you have heard there's a popular story that goes around, and I'm going to probably change it a little bit, but it's the man on the bridge. So there was a young man who was very excited about ministry and what God was doing with his life, and that man represents all of us. You're excited about what God can and will do with your life. He's got plans for you. And as he was walking on his path, excited about serving the Lord, he came upon a high bridge, and he met a stranger who was tying a rope around his own waist. And he handed it to the young minister, the other end of the rope. He said, I need a favor here. And the man said, sure, what can I do for you? He said, would you hold on to this rope? And he said, now hold on with both hands and hold on tight. And then the man that had the rope tied around his waist jumped over the bridge. So the minister was now almost pulled over, but he was holding on with both hands, and he's got this great weight on him. And he's like, what is going on here? And the man says, hold me. Just don't let go. And 5 minutes went by. 10 minutes went by. And the minister kept saying, what is the purpose of this? And the man said, my life is in your hands. And the minister said, I've got an idea. He said, if you'll just start tying the rope around yourself, you can inch up, inch by inch. And the man said, don't let go. The man said, I can't do that. They stood there. It was a standoff, and the minister couldn't do anything. And finally, the man was pleading for him to not let go, and the minister said, you're choosing not to help in this situation. He said, here's what I propose. He says, I will pull you, but you got to pull yourself up. The man says, I can't do it. And the minister said, I'm now giving you a choice. He said, I'm going to untie this rope from my waist, and I'm going to start pulling. And he says, if you'll help, we'll get you up. And the man said, I won't. And the minister said, then I release you. And he let go of the rope. That's all about codependency and realizing who is your assignment and who isn't. If someone is your assignment, you have to hold on. You have to do what you have to do. But can you see that the things that God wants you to do, you could be stopped doing nothing for someone that says, feed. I can tell Pam, I'm no longer going to work. I need you to feed me. I need you to clothe me. I need you to brush my, I need you to do everything for me. There might be a point where she would say, I just can't take hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours for that. So the idea of breakthrough, putting down the water and resting the worry, is you can't get your breakthrough in your life. You can't help other people until you can help yourself, right? Put your own, I always thought that was strange. Why am I putting my oxygen mask on first? Because if you pass out, how are you going to help anyone else?
We know in your illustration, it's very interesting. There was no point that you would understand that the man can't climb up the rope. It's not can't, it's won't. So many people will not help themselves. They want you to carry them through life and be responsible for them. And that really puts two people in bondage. It really does. We have to, at some point, there's a different, the only person, the two people that are responsible for me and my behaviors and my life situation, and many don't want to hear this, are me and God, not me and you. You know, otherwise, in his illustration, think about it. He wanted that man to be God to him. You take care of me. You do this. It doesn't work that way. So be careful that you know who your assignments are and that you are led by the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between helping and enabling someone. Would you agree to that? How many of us have enabled people in our lives and we've become the victim instead of them? So today we're going to talk about God of the breakthrough, which, you know, I did not realize I've known all the names of, I just know so many names of God. We talked about all the names of God one time, and this is one that I really did not get a revelation of. David called God Baal Perazim. Baal Perazim sounds ominous. It's not. Lord of the breakthrough. Do you know that that is a name of God? That he's Lord of the breakthrough? Let me prove it to you. 2 Samuel 5:20. So David went to Baal Perazim and defeated the Philistines there and said, the Lord did it. The Lord did it. He burst through my enemies like a raging flood, and he named that place Baal Perazim, which means the Lord of my breaking through. How many of you need the God of breakthrough? You need God to break through for you. Now, I believe, this is just me, you can say what you want or think. You may think that breakthrough is 20 years from now. I don't. I think that the hotter and the more heated the battle, I shared recently that all hell has come against so many people, and David said it best. He said, many are they increase that trouble me. Many are they that rise up against me. Know not what they do. They're opposing you. Let me tell you that that's a good place to start. You know, and I love a scripture in the Word that says the righteous may fall seven times, but they rise again. So what that means to me is if I fall 7 days a week, seven times is significant in the Bible. 7 days a week, I'm going to get up again. It's not about the falling. It's about the getting up. It's not about the problem. It's about breaking through the problem. And I believe that the more every time you see in the Bible where God's people were oppressed and they were being attacked, let me tell you something else. Breakthrough was close at hand. When the three Hebrew children were cast, and that's where my message comes from that I'm about to share either tomorrow or next week, God did not cause the fire. God did not set the fire. Nebuchadnezzar set the fire. So he didn't cause the fire, but he absolutely did call them into the fire. But he never called them into the fire, a fire that he wasn't willing to go into himself. Always remember that. And in David's case, the Philistines were a great enemy, but our God is greater. The God of David, the God of Isaac and Abraham and Jacob, and my God is greater. And it doesn't matter how many enemies you have. It doesn't matter what you're going through, because they're not fighting you. You know, when we have enemies come against us, there is this human tendency to say, they're fighting me. They're fighting God is who they're fighting. They're fighting the God inside of you. They're coming. They wouldn't oppose you if you weren't a believer. They wouldn't oppose you if you weren't a follower of Christ. If you weren't preaching the word, Maribel, you wouldn't get any opposition. It's like, hey, she's one of us, you know, but that's not how it works. They oppose the God in you. And here's what I want to say, because I believe that God can. Something I believe that I was teaching on last Monday night was God can use the most unlikely people to promote you and propel you to your destiny. He can even use your enemies like he did Pharaoh's daughter. And I want to tell you something, because I believe breakthrough is close for you and I, that some great things are about to happen to us and for us and even through us. I want to tell you something. When you tell the story and give your testimony of how God came through for you, how God broke through for you, would you do me a favor? Would you not leave out the hard part about being opposed by your enemies and the fires that you went through and all the hell that you went through? Would you not leave that part out? Don't tell about the goodness of God if you can't tell where you came from to, okay? A lot of people want to say, God brought me through, but they won't tell you about the years I spent on addiction, in addiction, in the depths of pain and suffering. I want to hear the whole story. In that way, I know how great God is and how big your breakthrough was.
Y'all, when we were kids, we used to play Red Rover. So kids would hold hands, right? And then you'd say Red, and then they'd stand. You'd have stand on opposite sides, and you'd say Red Rover, let Pastor Pam come over. And then she runs through, and then you break through. I like that. We've got, you know, it looks like you can't break through, but David ran over. He ran at his enemy, didn't he? He ran at Goliath. He was running at Goliath, shouting at him, "I'm going to cut your head off." So breakthrough does come through suddenly. I believe that God rewards faithfulness. Sometimes you just have to just be. God doesn't reward success. He's looking for faithfulness. Whatever you're bound by is probably a lie. Whatever you're bound by is probably in the battlefield of the mind. Haven't you known two people in identical situations where one is just as happy as they can be, yep, and the other one is saying, this is the worst situation I've ever been in my life? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. We've been to those churches in Mexico that were dirt poor. When I say dirt poor, I mean so poor they didn't have carpet on the floor because it was dirt. It was literally dirt on the floor. Air conditioning? What is air conditioning? But you wouldn't know that they were poor. No one told them they were poor. They sure, certainly weren't poor spiritually. When Pastor Pam was pregnant with her first child, so we're going back. How many years are we going back? What year are we talking?
45.
She probably doesn't want to answer that. Anyway.
45.
So that's when I first discovered headphones, because she had this set of headphones. And I was listening to Olivia Newton-John, but I was amazed because the headphones were stereo headphones. And one of the things that the Beatles did that made them so special is they would switch from the left headphone to the right headphone. And I don't know if you know this, but if you have headphones, there's a left and a right, and you might think, what does it matter? So if you're watching TV and a train is coming from the left to the right, you may not notice this unless you pay attention. You'll hear the train in your left hand, and as it goes to the right, they'll switch it, and it'll switch over to the right, and then you'll hear. So you get that effect without even realizing it. So if you have it backwards, it goes from right to left, and the train's going left to right, and you're all confused. But I like that. So I got myself, this is going somewhere, by the way. Have you ever noticed how amazing things are with headphones, though? Music. Oh, my goodness. Especially stereo. So I got myself these Bose 350 wireless, and not only is it stereo, but it's noise canceling. And, oh, my goodness, I love music, and worship music in stereo. There is such a world of difference when you turn on the noise canceling and the world just shuts out and all you hear is the worship. All that worry, all that noise, what am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do about Tuesday? What am I going to do about finances? When you're here worshiping, if you can put on the noise canceling and cancel out the world and you say, oh, this is rich, oh, this is, it'll lift your It'll lift your spirits. The secret place is always a place away from the noise. That's why it's a secret place. That's why no matter how, that's why I like, you know, that Weymouth or whatever, that famous minister, that his, he said his, he had eight siblings and they lived in like a one-room place. And he said his mother, because there was nowhere for her to go, she would take a sheet and sit there and put it over her head and with her Bible, because she had to have a secret place. Even though she had no place, you can have a secret place in prison. God will never allow you to walk into a fire without he's already made a plan. And come on, would you rather be in the fire with Jesus or would you rather be on a beach without Jesus? Give me the fire with Jesus. I'd rather be in a boat in the middle of a storm than on the beach without Jesus. Because fire purifies. The Bible talks about silver being purified. That as you keep purifying, you keep getting the impurities out. And that's what God does to you and I. So I will say this. Your test can become testimonies. Your fear should be replaced with faith. And every worry in your life, and I know this is easier said than done, but let me throw it out because it's true. Every worry in your life is another opportunity for you to trust God.
I want to tell you something. The same God that brought you through the problem you had in 2003 is going to bring you through the one you have in 2023. That's absolutely truth because he hasn't changed. Maybe your problems change. The situation's changed. The circumstance. The enemy is a different enemy. But let me tell you something. He's the same God. He's the same one who can deliver and bring you through. And I talk to people all the time on the regular, and so many people tell me that they feel like they're just about to have a breakdown. They are just about to lose it. And I see this. I see it in traffic. I see it everywhere. And people will say, I'm just about to have a breakdown. But I declare you're going to have a breakthrough and not a breakdown. Absolutely. Because God is the God. He will bring you through this. He can bring you through the fire. He can take you through the storm of life. You are coming through. And it's not because you deserve it or you're perfect. We don't deserve anything. But guess what? He paid the price for it. And you know what? God knows that you have enemies. He knows that you're opposed. He knows that, like King David, many are they who have risen up against you. But Jesus rose up for you, not against you. Yeah, you got people rising up against you. But Jesus rose up for you. And, you know, I want to say something about dealing with opposition, because we all deal with this. Often, when you have somebody that's really hurt you or broken you or done something to you that's wrong, you want to defend yourself, right? You want to have your day in court. Like, come on, let me tell my side of the story, and you don't get to. You want to call up your enemies. You want to fight with them. You want to deal with it. And if you do this, I'm telling you, you're out of the will of God. I've actually had people, don't you want to, can't you call them, can't you? If you do this, you're out of the will of God. Eve was never supposed to have a conversation with the snake. She was supposed to take action. Adam was supposed to take action, not go and chat with the snake. Talk is cheap. It's time to take action, you know, or ask God for help. You know, we have to realize this. And I heard a prophecy that I really love, and it was a prophet of God saying, this is the year of asking God for help. Have you ever heard that? That this is the year of asking God for help. And I thought, well, what a strange thing for you to say. No, it's not, because we haven't asked God for help. We've tried to deal with every situation ourselves. We've tried to deal with our enemies. Instead of turning them over to God, instead of turning this hard situation, even our finances, instead of being obedient to God, tithing, and turning our situation over to God, we try to deal with it ourselves. We can do this. And I love how God saved those three Hebrew children from the fire, because that's what God has done for us. He saved us from the fire. Did God stop the fire? No. Did God start the fire? You know, that's kind of in my notes for tomorrow night. He did not start that fire, but he did not stop it either. He just came in the fire. God doesn't always prevent us from having trouble, because in this world we have trouble, but he's always there in the trouble with us. And I love this. And I, you know something I love about God? I want to repeat a Monday night thing too. God is a just God and a righteous God and a fair God. And, you know, I thought it was so strange, and I shared this week, that God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and let the people go. Tell him to let my people go. And God said immediately, he's going to say no. So I said, why did you have Moses go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go? If you knew that he was going to say no, just start the flies and start the frogs hopping, God. Instead, God gave me this revelation. He said, Pharaoh had to have the same chance. I had to send Moses to give him the opportunity to let my people go, even though he was going to say no, because that's the kind of God he is. But every single time that we get in trouble, do you know God has a plan to get us out? And then he has a purpose. We give our testimony.
I like the idea of not defending yourself, but letting God defend you. I'm not, by the way, when I say not defending yourself, I don't mean letting yourself get run over, but I do like the idea of God defending me. Pastor Pam told me a while ago, and I thought this was true. When, let's say someone is offended at you, it's almost certainly something that they heard about you that isn't true. Think about that. If people are upset with or offended at you, it's probably something they listened to that absolutely wasn't true. I cannot tell you the number of things I've heard about our church people that I just don't believe. It's like, come on. Because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. I mean, what have you heard about Pastor Pam? What have you heard about me? The worst things you've heard. Are they true? Probably not. Isn't that amazing that most of the things is just, and you see Satan always accusing the brethren, always accusing the brethren. It reminds, last week I mentioned Hannah, as she's crying out to the Lord, the priest says, why are you drunk? And so it's just someone totally missing your heart. If your heart condemns you not, then you have confidence towards God. And besides, the thing that someone is condemning you for, maybe it's completely true, but you probably got forgiveness for that the next day, right? But it's still 5 years later, and they still bring up how what you did 5 years ago. It's under the blood. And when we accuse one another, we're accusing God's bride. Think how dangerous that is. Hey, God, I'd like to, you know, slap your wife around. That just doesn't go too good. It's God, we're the apple of God's eye. So when we have problems in our life, because we're talking about needing breakthrough in your life, another thing that Brother Gill always said that has always stuck with me, he did a sermon on trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Sometimes the simplest things, I have to admit, the most simple sermons are the ones that have meant the most to me. The ones just say, trust in God. They're like, oh, I like that. The one I heard a sermon once on loving others, and it just, the way it was given, it was just, it's practical. You just have to love people. I heard one on just be a Christian. Just be. Then Brother Gill just said, what are you going to do in the toughest of times? Simplify. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Just, you don't understand it. It doesn't say understand it. You don't understand anything that's happening. But it's okay. I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart. Because why we trust in God? Because God is good. He's always good. He's never not been good. He's never once done anything in your life that was not good. But that's why the Bible says to remember the covenant. Remember the covenant. I like that song that says, you said, ask for the nations. What I like about the song is you said, hey God, I want to remind you of what your word said. I pray that way all the time. God, you said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Because sometimes you think, how dare I pray these prayers? You said to ask. What am I doing asking for this? You said to ask for blessing. So I'm doing what God said. And the word remember in the Bible, when you say, God, remember your covenant, it's not the same thing like remember the milk. When you say remember the covenant, it means that God is mindful of it. It's always in front of him. He never forgets the covenant. But we do. The word remember in the Bible is a covenant word, like cut. Covenant means to cut where blood flows. And when the word remember, it doesn't just mean remember. It means keep it in front of your eyes. everywhere you go. You're walking. You are in covenant with God. You're in an Abrahamic covenant. You're in a new covenant. You're in a covenant that's not an Abrahamic covenant. You are in a Frida covenant. Frida? It's not an Abrahamic. It's a Frida hammock. Remember the covenant. And God told Israel, do not forget. Did God open the Red Sea a week ahead of time? A day ahead of time? An hour ahead of time? He's a big God, and he likes to make a big show. He likes to show up in the fire right on time. But he was there ahead of time, wasn't he? He was there by the time they got there. He was there. God is never late. He just may not be on your time period. But where fear comes in, and I want to answer this question. Because you're going to trust God, and I want to ask you something. You're trusting God. That's your family. That's your friends. Oh, you're going to trust God. Well, we'll see how that works out for you. Miss Goody Two Shoes, Miss Faith. What if God doesn't come through for you? I can answer that. That's not on you. That's on God. If God said ask, you ask. You're not responsible for the answers. You're just responsible for the asking. Well, I can't heal anyone. I can pray for someone, though. I can trust God will do his part if I do my part.
You know, you really can trust God no matter. No matter what happens in life, no matter what situation you face, you can trust God to bring you through. And the Bible says something interesting. Every secret thing shall be revealed. If someone has come against you, I can tell you that in the end, you're going to be vindicated. God's going to reveal exactly what happened. Many, many years ago, I had a situation where I had a cousin who had said something really, really bad about me and distanced herself. And it was kind of a yucky, one of those situations you don't like and you really can't defend yourself. You just know they're not speaking, whatever. But in the process, she was accused of something pretty serious. And I happened to know that she was not guilty. And as time went by, about 4 or 5 years, someone called me. And they asked me, they said, I always said if I could ever talk to you again, I would ask you a question. Was she guilty or was she not? Now, I am in the driver's seat because she said awful things about me. And I'm like, this is my chance to say, yep, I did not. I did not. I said, 100% she is not guilty. You have false information. You have false information. And they just started weeping. Just started weeping and said, I needed to hear that. You know what? It may take some time in your life, but whoever's come against you and what they've said against you, your character will stand for itself. Who you are in Christ will stand for itself. If you will just live with integrity, if you will just tell the truth when someone asks you something, do not even hesitate. If you hesitate, you might not do it. But, you know, God has got your back. Can I say that God has got your back? And he will get you out of every situation. You're going to break through this in your time, in God's time, because God's timing is perfect. We think that God should do it like McDonald's, like Burger King, and by the way, they're not so hot at getting their things out like they used to be, but we think it needs to be fast. But God is not a fast God. Sometimes he takes his time, like in the case of Lazarus. Did Lazarus get his breakthrough? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Did Mary and Martha get the breakthrough? Yes. Did they get it in the time they wanted it? No. They had to wait for it. They had to wait because God's timing is perfect. But the Bible says something interesting because you're going through something, and I know you're going through things because I'm not an idiot, because I'm very bright like that. Here's what the Bible says. Do not think that it's strange or unusual that you're going through some fiery trials right now to test you as though this was some strange thing that's happening to you. But I want to tell you something. God has got your back, and he's preserved your life. Just like in the case of Job, a lot of things came against Job, but the enemy could not take him out. And let me tell you something about that. You think, well, the enemy could kill me. I could. Let me tell you something. No, he can't. He's not authorized to do that because your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. The enemy can't kill you, or he would have already done it. He would have already done it. If he could get rid of you, then my question is, why didn't he? Because God has got your back. That accident you almost had, that was planned by him, but God preserved your life. And so no matter what you're going through, and let me ask you this. Have any of you ever had trouble like paying the bills? Paying the bills, paying the mortgage, paying the rent, all of the above. But did it get paid? Are you here today? Is it okay? Did you get sick at any time in your life? And was it a serious sickness that you had? And yet you're sitting here today and it's all worked out, or it's, if it's not worked out, can I say something? It's in the process of being worked out, because that's who God is. That's who he is. He's your God. And I want to tell you that the enemy can't even stop you. Not only can he not take you out, he can't stop you. Some of you need to read Christine Kane's book called Unstoppable, because that's who we are in Christ. He's tried to stop us. He's tried, but it did not work. And the devil will offer you an out. Remember the temptation of Jesus? And he said, if you, I can change these right into bread. I can preserve, you throw yourself off. The temptation to get a way out. One of my favorite stories, Pastor Ken, is the president of Ukraine, when he was offered asylum by other countries, by several other countries. They were offering, including the U.S., you can come here. We will get you here. We'll get you out of there. And here his nation is. He's leading this nation of people, the Ukrainians. And he said, I will not run. I will not hide. I will not shrink back. I will stand and I will fight, and I will fight with the people. I will fight for the people. Even though he knew this was a very real enemy. And I think that we need to take that stand, because as Mike Murdoch said, if you're not being attacked, then what's wrong with you? Who are you? Because if you notice an increased like trouble around you, like I got trouble this way, I got trouble that way, increase in demonic activity means not that you're doing something wrong. It means you're doing something right.
So I read this thing that Albert Einstein when he was teaching, some of the people in the college came to him and they said, the students have got you figured out that you use the same test every year for your final. And they said, you need to switch it up because they all know what the test is. And he said, I'm not going to switch it up, because he said the test is the same, but the answers keep changing. As science was developing. And the reason I thought of that is back in the 1970s and before, for runners, both, and this is Olympic runners, it didn't matter, high school runners, if you look at old textbooks on sports science, there was lots of material, and you may remember this if you're older than 50, if in high school, where football teams and everything, the coaches would say, don't drink water. You'll see that in old movies. Football coach, do not drink water. You're going to cramp up. Take these salt pick. But that was the knowledge. If you ask someone in 1965, should runners take water? They're like, no, they'll cramp up. So in the Olympics, one of those older Olympics, the lead runner was way ahead of everyone, got within 100 miles of the finish line and didn't finish. Was disoriented, didn't know which way left and right was, sat down, all because of this, because the science was wrong. Turns out that water is really heavy. So maybe about 6 pounds a gallon, give or take a pound. So you don't see runners carrying giant backpacks with 2 gallons of water in them, do you? If you see a runner or a hiker carrying a backpack, believe me, it's the lightest that they can possibly carry. So when I went backpacking with my friends, I mean, I told you this before, we were stopping, and I picked up this 5 or 6 pound rock, and I put it in my friend's backpack. We hiked all day long. Woo, he was carrying that six pound rock, which I thought was funny, which was horrible of me to do that. But that was the kind of friend he was. So that's what Satan tries to do to you, put stuff on you that you shouldn't be carrying. I can't believe I carried this thing for 10 years, and it was just dead weight. When runners run marathons, they may carry a water bottle, but check this out. Every mile for good races, or every 2 miles if it's not as good, they have water stations. So as you get, and you look forward to those stations. Oh my goodness. You say, oh, there's a water station in a mile. And as you just run by, and they got Gatorade, they got water, they got ice water, they got 8 or 9 different types of water that you can, because you have to hydrate. Church, life will wear you down to where you go, I am not making it. And go, hey, excuse me, all you need is water. You need the refreshment of the Spirit of God. If I was out church for 3 weeks, not to make people feel guilty about being out church, but come on, you get mighty thirsty. If you say, I'm going to miss 3 or 4 water stops, you're still making it, but it's hard to miss 3 or 4 water stops. This was a water stop this morning. That music was just so refreshing to me. Willie, that song you sang, I was just sitting there going, that was amazing. That was amazing. I just enjoyed that so much. I was just in my spirit. It's just the peace of God. What you're facing isn't as important as trusting in God. And Pam wrote this, and I like this. This is encouraging. You are an overcomer, not an underachiever. And on your weakest day, on your worst day, there's more power in your words that would cause the enemy to shake. He just doesn't want you to hear the truth. Because the weapons of, you say, I'm weak. Good. Let the weak say, I am strong. It's not your weakness. It's your faithfulness. I don't care how weak you are. If you can move your lips, you can pray. You can trust God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty, and they pull down strongholds of the enemy. What weapons? You've got the blood of Jesus, the word of God, the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, intercessory prayer. Praise is a weapon. And you're backed by the armies of heaven. You're backed by the word of God that is watched over. If I make my bed in hell, there you are with me. God's promises are greater than our problems. And so that's why the Bible tells us to be strong and to be courageous. My goodness, those Bible stories, people went into the worst situations simply trusting God. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That no truer words were ever spoken. Guard your tongue. If you had a recording of everything you had said in the last 24 hours, and you just listened to every word you say, would you say, oh my goodness? Would you hear yourself? Sometimes we don't hear ourselves. Would we hear ourselves saying, I'm not going to make it, I'm going to lose her, I'm a loser? Or would you hear yourself saying, I'm trusting in a living, powerful God?
I'm going to close with this. I know we're out of time. God is greater than your problems. And the enemy's going to lie to you, and he's going to tell you that you're not going to get your breakthrough, that problem's going to hang over your head all your days. I want to tell you that he's such a liar. This week I was doing some studying that I found very interesting, and it was an article called Things That Believers Have Believed That Are False. And one of them really, really shocked me, because I've said this, you know, people have said this forever, that the divorce rate within churches and among Christians is equal to the world. That is a lie. And he refuted that lie with facts. You know, there are things that we say that we're told that we just believe. Another one was that addiction within in the life of Christians and believers and the children of believers is equal to that of the world. And that is another lie. We have believed these lies of the enemy, like you're not going to have your breakthrough. And something that came to me that was very, very interesting, that was, I believe, was a revelation to me, and I it's going to be on the screen in a little bit, but that God, you know, sometimes we think, why did you allow this problem? I know you didn't cause it, but why did you allow it, God? And one of the revelations that God gave me by the Holy Spirit is, I allowed that, and I did not prevent you from facing that trouble, because I want to remind you and the devil how great I am. That's what God showed me. I allowed that problem to come to your life because I need you to be reminded how great I am, and the devil to be reminded how great I am. Because everything that we overcome proves that our God truly is who he says he is, who he claims to be, that he is a great God. And no matter what happens in our life, we are going to break through. We're going to pray. I want to pray for you. And because I know that you need breakthrough. Is that okay? I know you need breakthrough because I need breakthrough. Because I've done my homework. You know, we all need it in some area of our life. Some need it financially. Some need it in relationships. We need breakthrough. And so, but here's the thing. Barb said to me before church, she said, some people won't be healed because they're more interested in the healing than the healer. And I thought about some people won't be provided for because they're not interested in being obedient, but they're more interested in the provision than the provider. And the same through applies with breakthrough. If you're more interested in just relief instead of the one who's going to bring the relief, then there's a problem. Let's stand. Father God, I come before you today. We come as a body. We come as a church before you. Father God, we don't just want you to give us finances. We don't just want you to heal us. We don't just want you to help us. We honor you. We come because you're the healer, you're the provider, you're the God of the breakthrough, Baal Perazim, and you're God of my breaking through. King David said, the God of my breaking through. I like that because it's so personal. Father God, each and every one of us who are standing up here, we have something in our life that we have need of, Father God. But you already know that. You already know that, God. It doesn't take you by surprise at all. But I believe that you're pleased that instead of us just trying to break through ourselves or kick the door down or make it happen, that we're turning to you for our breakthrough. Father God, we're asking you for breakthrough. I am not going to go and try to fix it, God. I trust you to fix it. And Father God, if I did that, I would be out of your will, Lord. I'm not going to get a second job, a third job, a fourth job, and try to provide for myself. I'm going to trust you as my provider. Father, I thank you for the healing of bodies, of relationships, Father God, of finances. Father, heal hearts, heal homes. In Jesus' name, we right now, we receive our breakthrough. Father God, we just hold our hands out and we receive what you have for us, Father God. And we're not going to put you in a time box either, God. In your time, God, you make all things beautiful. You work it out in your time. You don't have to do it in my time. Do it in your time, God. And we do praise you and thank you even before it happens today. Father God, it's going to happen. In Jesus' name, we thank you.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.